Have you been wanting to take your New Testament study to the next level? Well, today at Whiskey in the Writings, we're going to look at resources that have helped me a ton in my study of the New Testament and have helped shape the way I think and read the New Testament to this day. And I'm excited to share those resources with you. So grab your cup, pour a drink, let's dive in. Today, I'm drinking Buffalo Trace. This is a really great whiskey. I mean, all around, it's mid to upper shelf whiskey. Depending on the size you get, you're gonna pay a little bit more for it if you're getting a more than what I have here. But where I'm from, it's around a $40 ish bottle of whiskey, and it's really, really good. There was a time where this was really hard to get, and I had talked to a few liquor stores around here where I'm from, and it was hard to tell why. Really, there was a shortage with Buffalo Trace. I believe the story goes there was a fire that took place and they lost a lot of their inventory. And so it took a while for the makers of Buffalo Trace to actually replenish their stock. You can get it a lot easier now, but there was a season last year where it was like this was really hard to find on the shelves. It was crazy. In fact, some of our liquor stores were limiting how many bottles you could buy. Then there was a rumor going around that I think on a television show, Yellowstone with Kevin Costner, that they had Buffalo Trace on it. And so it became really popular with people that loved the show. And so a lot of people were just buying it because of that. I'm not sure the truth really in any of those. I'm just thankful I can get it now. And I love to drink Buffalo Trace. And so it's one of my all-time favorites. One of these days, I'll make a video of me touring their facilities. And hopefully I can do that. But all that to say, that's what we're drinking today. So whatever you have in front of you works for you. I'm just happy you've tuned in and you're joining us today. So thanks for being here. Cheers. All right, folks, we are talking resources today. And I gotta say, I love this conversation because it has informed so much of the way that I actually read the Bible and how I study the Bible. And so for me to be able to share those resources with you, I'm super stoked to do so. And so I've got some stuff right over here I'm gonna introduce to you here in a second. But let me clarify a couple things about these resources. I have them in print. You can most certainly get all of these resources digitally. And so if you're an iPad user, a Kindle user, and you want digital resources, you can easily get them. And it's probably more accessible that way because the hyperlink ability in a digital book versus a print book. I'm just a sucker for print and I like print books. And so that's why I have them on my shelves, even though I probably use the digital versions more than I use these print materials, if I'm being honest. But just because it makes it easier to share with you, that's why I'm doing that here today, because it would be hard to demonstrate a print version. Maybe one day I'll be able to switch to a digital screen to be able to show information. I'm working on that in future situations. But for now, all I've got is a camera, you and me, and our drink, and our writings. And so that's what we're dealing with. So thanks for joining us today. And you're all ready to get going? Because I certainly am. I love this conversation. So here's what we're going to do. We're talking about studying the New Testament, particularly. So this is just New Testament writings. This is not about the Old Testament. I'll make another video another day about resources I use when I'm trying to study the Old Testament. But I've spent the bulk of my career in New Testament studies. And so I have probably 3/4 of my library is centered around New Testament studies versus 1/4 of it being around Old Testament studies. It's just not the area that I've spent the most of my career in and specialized in. New Testament is. And so I just have a lot more material for us. That's where we're starting there. I love the New Testament. I love studying Jesus, and so that's what attracts me to the New Testament, is you're getting the outworking of people who are choosing to choose Jesus as the one they want to follow, and what does that look like? And so, and how have we collected that information? How have we preserved it? How has it been translated? All those things just fascinate me. And so, so we're looking at the New Testament, and here's what we're focusing on. As I study New Testament writings, what are the resources I go to help me understand the text better? So this is just for me. It may help you. Hopefully it does. But really, this is about what is it that I use to help study the Bible better. And there are some primary resources that I then supplement with some secondary resources, okay? So the things we're going to look at today are what's called my primary resources. And just for instance, if I were to look back in my some of my bookshelves here for my secondary resources, I would do things like I have the New Testament for Everyone series by N.T. Wright. This is 1 Corinthians. This is a whole series in the New Testament. I have that whole series. This is really great because he'll give you sections of the text where he'll break it down. He'll tell a story, and then he'll kind of give you information about the section you're reading. So very entry level, really great. The things we're talking about are not this. This is very entry level. If you're looking to do devotions on the text, these are kind of the things you're going to read. We're going to look at more technical things today, the more technical resources I use to help study the New Testament. But this is what I would call a secondary resource for me, simply because I like to go to the primary sources, the more technical stuff when I'm trying to read the text. And so that's what we're doing. So the first place I want to look at, the first thing I want to use when I'm trying to dive deeper in the text is my favorite Bible. I've been talking about this since we've launched this channel. It's the NET Bible. And the reason why the NET Bible is so stinking brilliant is because every study Bible contains footnotes, which are like little information snippets by the scholar team that was translating that Bible. And they give you little snippets about what it is that they're actually translating. In fact, I should have had this prepared, but I'm going to turn my back to you once again to grab another Bible to show you an example. So here we go. Sorry for that. This is the New Living Translation Study Bible. New Living Translation Study Bible. Very hefty book, both cloth bound, which I'm a sucker for. I love a cloth bound book that lays flat. I've talked about that in the past, but here's the difference. When you open up something like this, what you're going to get is things like this, and it looks like this. You've got a lot of text here, and then you've got the snippet footnotes, that help you understand what's going on up here. And then sometimes you get a breakout section like this that gives you information about the subject matter that's being discussed in this section, along with the snippets here. But you can see here, right, it's text, snippets. This is a good study Bible. I love this study Bible. It's a great study Bible. In fact, this is what I recommend to most entry-level people studying the Bible, is get this study Bible. It's really good. But you can see, a lot of text, little bit of snippet. A lot of text, little bit of snippet, right? So you're getting a little footnotes of like, here's how the translating team is telling you what they're telling you about these verses in question. That's a pretty typical study Bible, okay? So what makes the NET study Bible different is this one's called the Full Notes Edition. And this is what makes the NET Bible so great, is that the translation team didn't simply take a few snippets to tell you something about the verse.
The translators of this Bible that put together the NET, the New English Translation Bible, they have included every single snippet they used to help them translate from the original to the English. Versus a study Bible like a Bible like this is only giving you a little bit of information. The NET Bible is giving you all of the information. Here's what it looks like in print form. Remember what the other one looked like? Okay, in this situation, you have a little bit of text and a lot of footnotes. Little bit of text, every single note about how they translated that little bit right there is included right here. And you get that everywhere. Look at all these rich, I mean, it's crazy stupid how much, like, look at that little bit of text right there. And it's all of this is all of their notes about that right there. I don't know if that comes up very well in the camera, but I hope it does. It's so good. Now, here's the hack, right, for this. You're like, Joe, do I need to buy that? This big old thing and then all that little tiny print. Here's the thing, the NET provided this all online. So if you go to whatever app you use to read the Bible, I use Bible Hub, there's Bible Gateway, there's Blue Letter Bible, whatever app you use, there's even a NET app that you can get on an app store. And when you go to the text, they'll have the little hyperlinks and you click it and it'll do a pop-up of the information just like it has it in here. So this is just the print version, and I bought the print version literally not because I actually use it in the print. I use the digital version because it's so much easier to hit a button and it pops it up and you can read it and scroll through it. But I just wanted to be able to show you the value that the NET does. And when it gives you the footnotes, guys, it's telling you the Greek and why they chose, or the Hebrew and why they chose that versus other things. And they'll tell you some manuscripts say this and some manuscripts say this, and we chose this because we think this. The amount of transparency that you get in the NET is, it's priceless, guys. It's so good. Everyone who wants to take the New Testament seriously in its study, you need to have the NET, whether digitally or print, alongside whatever you're using in your study Bible. These two should go hand in hand. So that's resource number one. You'll get to a point where you move away from this and you graduate to this, and it's a lot of fun. So there are those two things. Now, those are Bibles, right? Where you're reading the text and then you're reading the information of why the translator chose to translate in the way that they did. Super helpful, because you're going to learn it, but it's also going to be overwhelming because it's going to be a lot of Greek. It's going to be a lot of like why they, or Hebrew. I keep saying Greek because we're looking at the New Testament, but it's going to be a lot of Greek. It's going to be a lot of information that might go a little over your head, and you're trying to go, well, I'm trying to really understand, but this may not help me understand. Okay, so your next resource that you want to have in your back pocket for understanding the text and what's happening in the text, I would argue is going to be, we'll pull this bad boy out, the New Testament in its world. I love this volume of work. It was produced by, or the scholarship behind the New Testament in its world is N.T. Wright and Michael Byrd. Both are just brilliant scholars in the New Testament, and you cannot go wrong with those guys. What they've done here is produced a volume that is rich and beautiful and deep and has so much built into it. I was actually blown away when I first got this. I remember when it went to print, I bought it immediately. I'm a sucker for an early adopter on biblical writings. But I'm just so impressed because it's hardbound. I love a good hardbound book. Again, it's lay flat,
which makes studying it easy. I love this lay flat, so you're not like, things aren't flipping over. A lay flat, I don't know why everything should be produced in a lay flat manner, in my opinion, but at least for study, like this, right? So you can lay it open like this, but the paper quality is like, it's fancy. It feels fancy, guys. There's images everywhere. Like, so you're seeing like pictures of things. I mean, you got maps and you've got these headers and these side note information. Pictures of like real genuine information about the stuff. It's such a good resource. Now, how would I use this in my study? Well, if I'm trying to understand when a text was written, who wrote it, not simply what who we think wrote it, because that's a misconception. Like, we just assume like James wrote James. It's like, well, there's actually some scholarly debate about who wrote the letter James. Second and third Peter, was that actually the Peter of the Gospels, or was that some disciple of Peter later on? Like, there's a lot of debate about that. But it gives you that information while retaining very grounded orthodoxy. I love that about this writing. So when I want to understand, like, what's the structure of the letter that's being read, or the biography of Jesus, what's the structure? Who was Matthew? Why did he write it? What's the themes? What's the background? All of that information, this is what's really good. So anytime I'm trying to put together a lecture or a teaching on a certain passage of scripture within a certain text in the New Testament, I start here because I want to understand the broad scope of the writing. What was the author's intent? What were they trying to do? Are there literary styles involved in this that are going to help me understand what's going on behind it? This is the kind of book you buy in print. Okay, now I know the last one I said get digitally, no big deal. This is something you want on your bookshelf. This is such a beautiful book, such rich with information, and is going to help you understand the text even better. One of the cool things about this, I'll also say, is that they've included sections where it's like emails and responses. So N.T. Wright and Michael Bird have put in like emails, genuine emails they've gotten from people asking questions about the text that they're covering in this section. And then they responded to that email and they put that in there too. So you're getting like real time, what feels like real time feedback about real questions that people have about the text that they're studying. And that's super cool. I've never seen anything like that in a study like this before, but there's all sorts of useful information here about how things came to be, the background information. So you have like introduction and then like contextual information and then arguments about the text in question. And then you have like, okay, how do the chapters break out? What's happening in each chapter and verse? And so this is like a must have on anybody's shelf. I cannot overstate enough that you need to have the New Testament in Its World by N.T. Wright and Mike Bird. So there's that. Great, great resource to have. Okay, setting that one aside, what's our next one? We only got two left. Our next resource isn't simply about the text that you're reading. Like, the last one was about, like, when was it written? Who wrote it? Why did they write it? What are the key themes of the writing? Breakdowns of like the theological implications of the things that were being written about. That's New Testament in Its World. What if you actually want to understand the cultural background of what's being said and written? Like, you know, was there a influence of Greco-Roman like pagan worship involved in the statement being said? What was it like to live as a first century person, whether it be like a Roman citizen converting into Christianity and what would that experience have been like for them? The kinds of questions that you have about, like, so you have the text, but what's happening around the text? What's happening in the world around the text? It would be like the questions we would ask today. Let's just say 2,000 years ago, someone looks back at our world today and they say, well, who was president? What kind of laws did that president have? How did they enact those laws? How did the citizens respond to those laws? What kind of churches existed during this time? How did those churches impact the culture? What was the culture? What kind of music did they listen to? What kind of lifestyle did they have? That helps you, all of that information helps you, it puts you like in the framework, in the minds of the writer to help you understand what's happening in a given text. Okay, so that's my setup. If you want to know that kind of detail, this is for you. This book is the Bible Background Commentary, produced by the IVP Press. It's on the New Testament, and it is produced, or the scholar involved is Greg Keener. Greg Keener is a professor of New Testament studies at Asbury University. Brilliant New Testament professor. The work that he's done is just, it's top-notch work, Greg Keener. And he is the contributor to this New Testament, the New Testament background, right? So that's the key here. We're not just talking about letters and information. We're talking about the background of it. And what happens is that you can open up this writing, and you can find the letter or gospel or biography that you're looking to investigate. You can go to chapter and verse, and you can find scholarly opinion about what's happening in that world. And Greg Keener, if you're going to ask, if you're going to look for an opinion that matters, Dr. Keener is top-notch scholarship there. Again, it's a big book, right? It stands on its own. Anytime a book that can just stand up like this, probably a pretty hefty book. But the goal here isn't just to read this back to front. This is not what we're talking about. Any of these resources I've shared with you are not back to front or front to back, sorry, type readings. These are like when I'm looking to look up, I'm reading, let's just say I'm reading in Romans and I'm in chapter 1 and I'm at verse 1. And I kind of want to understand what's happening in the background of this letter. And you have all of these things here. We're like Romans 1 verse 8. This is his input. All roads lead to Rome. So quote, all roads lead to Rome. And he says, due to connections of the whole empire with Rome, Christians everywhere knew about the faith of believers in the capital. And so what he's saying here is he's commenting on the fact that the Roman Empire made the transportation and the accessibility of the gospel message possible, because never in history has there ever been a time since until the Romans came along where there was a transportation system that allowed for a networking of information to take place like it did in the Roman Empire. And I think the only other time in history where we've seen that spread the way that it did in the Roman Empire, I guess a contemporary of that would be the innovation of the internet. When the internet took place and all of a sudden people became interconnected like they never were before. This is like what happened in the Roman Empire. So he's giving you this background to say, like, how is it that Paul can communicate in the way that he's communicating? Because back then, all roads led to Rome. In verse 9, this is his input. He says, letters commonly included an opening prayer. So he's commenting about this opening statement of Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Or the report of prayer. For in my spirit, quote, the modern idiom would be from the bottom of my heart, with all my heart. It was common to call as witness the one who knew one's heart, God. So recurrent prayer was sometimes described as remembering or reminding or making mention to God. So again, you might go, well, I don't know what that means, you know, right now. But if you were trying to study and understand the background of like what's happening behind the scenes of what's going on, this is the resource you want to have in your library. Again, if you have some sort of like software like Logos software. You can get this book and it does the hyperlinks for you. Super accessible. Outside of that, I'm not sure if there's a digital version that's accessible, maybe on Kindle. And if it's so, I would encourage this. If there is something on Kindle or like Apple Books, make sure that the hyperlinks are good, because that's what you're going to want to do with the print version. You're just going to go right to the section you're reading and you're going to look for the verses that he makes a comment about and you're going to read that. And so if it's not hyperlinking properly in a Kindle book or a Apple book, it's not going to be as helpful to you as it would be in a print version. So you want to understand the background of what's going on. Keener's your dude, and this is the book for you. I just want to quickly say that all of these will be linked in the show notes, so you can go to them, get them on Amazon if you would like, and I would highly encourage you do so. Okay. Lastly, we have our final volume. Now, before I bring this bad boy out, and this, when I say bad boy, it is a bad boy. This specifically, we've been talking about the New Testament as a whole. This specifically is going to talk about Paul. So, if you don't know, Paul had wrote, or what's accredited to Paul is 3/4 of the writings contained in what you call your New Testament. If you're going to read the New Testament, you've got to deal with Paul, okay? It's just, you're just going to have to deal with him, okay? You can't ignore him. He's everywhere in the New Testament. And so if you're going to focus on writings specifically that Paul had written, this, my friends, is the book for you. Okay, I just got this last year, and I am in love with this work. Here's a couple things you need to know about this. The IVP group produced this in conjunction with the scholarship team. The main editors of this volume, which is like stupid big, right, and heavy. I mean, it's incredible to hold in your hand. Is Scott McKnight, Nija Gupta, and I believe Lynn Kohick, but I might have to double check that. I don't know that it has it here in, it is Lynn Kohick right here. Nija Gupta, Lynn Kohick, and the general editor is Scott McKnight. All top-notch, brilliant scholars. And they worked to collect. So this is how this works. There are so many topics that Paul covers in all of his writings. Things like there's theological works, there's eschatology works, there is family and household works, there is like apostleship, there is just so many things that are covered by Paul's writings. And what happened is that Scott McKnight and his team, they collected from the top leading scholars in each field articles that they submitted to be published in this work. And then the Scott McKnight and his team edited those articles to have them be put into this work. So what this does for you, and there is a digital copy that's easier to access. I have it on the Logos Bible software where I can hyperlink and you can jump right to the categories that you're trying to investigate. The print is great. I use the digital version. Again, if it's on Kindle, I'm not sure that they're going to hyperlink the same way that they would in some Bible software app. So if you don't have those apps, a print version might be good for you. And it's kind of fun to have because it's super big and super nerdy. But what this is going to do is it has all these different topics that you can research that are about what Paul talks about. And so we're going to look at a couple. So going to the table of contents here, you can talk about politics and power. You can read articles on politics and power. How about judgment, justification? How about truth, temple? How about the strong and the weak? There is interpretation of Augustine, Calvin, Jewish, Luther, medieval, modern. How about apostle, ascension, forgiveness, freedom, liberty. That's how this is arranged. It's arranged topically. What are the topics that Paul seems to discuss in his writings? And then what you do is you find that topic, and then you can jump to that page and you can read an article produced by a scholar that is a top-notch scholar of that subject, that particular subject, and they give you all the information about that subject. And then even on top of that, when they're done talking about the subject, they give you all of the references that they cite about that subject. So if you're like, this was great, but I actually want to read and research even deeper, they provide all of that information at the very end of whatever that they wrote. So like on the subject of eschatology here, there's the bibliography that goes like this. So this is the content about eschatology, and I'm not sure who wrote it, but and that doesn't matter right now, but someone contributed this article on what Paul thinks about eschatology. And then all of the information that they're citing and sourcing is all, it starts right here. So it's just a good example, right? So it starts here, goes down. Here are all the books, all the scholars that they're referencing in all of the information that is all about eschatology, which is like all of this stuff that I'm turning. So like, it starts right, so eschatology starts here. Here's the article. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 pages of information about what Paul thinks about eschatology. But it just doesn't stop there. Then the person who wrote the article goes, let me tell you where I got that information. So if at any point you're going, well, I'm not sure about that, I want to look into it, then you've got this right here. Then you've got this, 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 and this. This is all the bibliography of the content that, on eschatology. Okay, this is for like uber nerding out. But if you're like me and you're like, yeah, you said that, but where did you pull that from? You can go right to the bibliography, look at the book, and research it yourself. So this, if you're trying to understand Paul and what he's thinking about, this is an absolute must in your library, okay? So if you have questions about women in ministry, bloop, right here. If you have questions about what does Paul think about heaven, bloop, right here, okay? It's all right here. This is an absolute must, and this is one of my favorite new additions to my library. So Paul, or it's called Dictionary of Paul and His Letters. Dictionary of Paul and His Letters. So there's that. There's a whole series that the IVB Press has done on this. They call it like the Dictionary of. So you can get lots. Dictionary of the Gospels, Dictionary of the New Testament. This happens to be just focused on Paul and his letters. Amazing, amazing resource. Okay, so there you have it, right? These are the resources I go to when I'm trying to deep dive into the New Testament. These are my primary resources, and then I have a bunch of secondary, but this is what I go to. And so if you're trying to take the New Testament seriously and you're like, Joe, I need to up my game in understanding, I'm wanting to take it to a new level, these are the things you need to have on your library shelf, the things that you need to be citing and looking to whenever you do a study of the New Testament. Now, if you're going, Joe, I don't even care about all of that. That's what Whiskey in the Writings is for. So hopefully by me sharing my resources can give you confidence that I'm doing the work with you and for you to help you understand what Jesus is up to in this world and why that matters to you. That's what we do here at Whiskey in the Writings. And so with that, thank you for joining me on this very nerdy exploration of resources that we use to discover the depth and meaning and insight that the New Testament has for us today. So thanks for joining me, Whiskey in the Writings, and until next time, cheers.